You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We begin this hour with Robert Pilot in Native Roots Radio. Robert is joined by Robert Lilligren of NACDI.
Dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we're going to have our friend Robert Lilligren on in just a little bit here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on at the Minneapolis American Indian Center on Friday and Saturday. And this Friday, March 27th, and Saturday, March 28th, at 7 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, a rotunda, that's 1530 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. And this event is a play, and the play is called Sorisfield Works 2026 Native Joy Play Festival. And the players, different plays, like one of the plays is Friends by the great Marcy Rendon, who is just a great author, Native author out there, and people love her books. And obviously, this is a play. And then the next one is Auntie is a Verb by Lee Cataluna. And that's another play. And Dance by Jessamine Rochelle Goodspeed. And Slow Your Roll by P.C. Vernon. And this is all directed by Ernest Briggs. And it features Jaleesa McKee, Roya Taylor, our friend Roya, and Nathaniel Two Bears, another Ho-Chunk. So we got Jaleesa McKee, my Hinu, which is means in Ho-Chunk, my first daughter. And so she'll be in this. And Shanna Sakati. And again, it's March 27th at 7 p.m. And then also Saturday, March 28th at 7 p.m. at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. So please get out there and support Native arts. And it'd be great to see you out there. I'll try and make it out both days and check it out. A lot of other things happening at the Minneapolis American Center on May 1st from 4 to 9, save the date, Minneapolis American Indian Center. They're having an open house, and it'll be the American Indian Month kickoff. So that's going to be happening real soon, and I'm going to put that on my calendar so I don't forget, because we believe here at Native Roots Radio every month is Native American History Month here. So also, too, we have the Homebuyers Network at the 2026 Native First Time Homebuyer Workshop at Minneapolis American Indian Center. And that's April 4th, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So First Time Buyer, Home Buyer Workshop Network. And so there's other things that are going on. Go find out what's happening in Minneapolis at Minneapolis American Indian Center on Facebook and YouTube. Before I get too far into this, let's bring our friend on, Robert Lilligren. We haven't seen Robert in a week or so, and I miss you, Robert. Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Yeah, thanks for having me. Sorry if I'm late. I think I misunderstood your earlier communication. So
no, I'm confusing because I thought I was going to have the theater people on the first segment, but they're practicing right now at the American Indian Center, so they were not able to make it on.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
So how do the kids say that? My bad. Oh. A lot going on. And, geez, why don't we talk about first what's happening with the Native American Community Development Institute. I know there's a lot happening, and we got the art galleries opening again. So there's things that are happening. And I was just talking about a few things that are happening on the Avenue. Do you have that in front of you by any chance? What's happening with the art gallery?
We have our first show since the federal occupation here. We'll be opening up on, I'm sorry, I'm grabbing it here. I was a little unprepared.
No, that's okay.
The artist's name is Danielle C. Walker, and it's Unpensado is the name of the show, and it is starting on April 10th. So it's coming up, and as some folks know, you know, our gallery went dark during the ICE surge here because our gallery was the headquarters for resources, the protectors, and things. And so we had to cancel a show and a lot of other activities. And so now we're coming back online, and this show is just incredible, this artist's work. If you go to the All My Relations Arts website or Facebook page, you can see a couple of examples. And so it's about aunties, right? And the role that aunties play. And it should be really exciting. And so that starts on April 10th. There'll be an opening reception. And then as we do with all of our shows, there'll be multiple community engagement opportunities, artist talks, and things as well. So if you just check out the All My Relations Arts website, you can get more information.
Yeah, and I also see, too, that the Native American Community Development Institute, we were talking about the play that's going on March 27th and 28th, but 11 to 3, there's a spring artist market happening at the... Where is this happening at All My Relations Arts? It's happening there.
So that's at our gallery, All My Relations Arts, in our little yellow building on Franklin and 15th. The address is 1414 East Franklin. And after the, as we reactivated the gallery and turned it back over from being a headquarters to being a gallery again, there was just a real strong feeling amongst NACTI staff and in the community that we do some community focused things. Kind of healing is our theme. And one of the things was for a lot of the people, the entrepreneurs, the artists, they lost their ability to market their stuff during the federal occupation here. And so this week we're having on March 27th, 28th, a spring artists market, and it's going to be artists kind of writ large, but a lot of the community entrepreneurs, a lot of our friends from our Make Voting a Tradition project will participate, but Make Voting a Tradition and our All My Relations Arts are sponsoring it. So people can come by, they can grab something to drink or from Powwow Grounds Coffee Shop, support the coffee shop. There'll be door prizes, vendors. So it's at All My Relations Arts Gallery from 11 to 3 both days. And there'll be beading, sewing, vendors from Little Earth of United Tribes, just a whole host of our Four Sisters Farmers Market vendors or other partners will be vending there. So I would stop on down, a good community event. And I'll tell you, Robert, I've been saying this a lot. I just had an opportunity this week to address a bunch of the commissioners, the heads of state agencies at what we call our Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness. And these about a dozen of the state commissioners and our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, who chairs this effort, wanted to hear more about what happened in the community, what the response was in the Native community, how we supported our relatives living unhoused. And so I had just a few minutes on their agenda, but I was able to really lift this up, what the Native community did. And I'll tell you this, Robert, and I've been saying this a lot in public, and I really feel that the Native community's approach that was peaceful, prayerful, people-based, community-based, really set the tone in a lot of ways and really contributed to the overall peaceful response to the federal occupation. And I look back to the time after George Floyd was murdered here and parts of our city became very hot with a lot of demonstrations. I mean, hot literally, buildings were being burned and things. And right there on the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue, we came together as a community and decided to use these Native values, our peaceful, prayerful approach. We didn't board up our buildings like a lot of parts of the city did. Rather, we organized our protectors. So we had people from here at Little Earth of United Tribes and people from the community here. Lots of people came into town from the reservations. I think we had over 500 volunteers that participated in the protector movement during the George Floyd uprisings. And we protected our community. We protected our Native relatives, our non-Native relatives, our Native assets, our non-Native assets, and the full extent of damage along East Franklin Avenue or the American Indian Cultural Corridor was one broken window in a storefront. And this is while East Lake Street, which is less than a mile away in a very similar sort of community, was burning, right? And so to me, that really showed, okay, if we really value and express our Native ways, we can actually protect people. And know that we've just gone through this region, Twin Cities region-wide occupation, that kind of showed the same thing. And I think Native people should really embrace our role and really talk about it, you know? And yeah, it was not easy. It was very grim here. It still is kind of grim, but it's getting better. But we did it.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, too, all the things that have happened. And, you know, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and we got tickets to the concert. And really a big, big Bruce Springsteen fan, especially what he did with the First Avenue concert and coming here and then making a song about how strong Minneapolis is. And it's funny, I had Vinny Dion on yesterday. And
yeah, I saw that.
And what's great is that, you know, what you were talking about, I really feel like everybody's kind of learned from Standing Rock to George Floyd about how to do this. And really, really excited by, you know, our white allies showing up in a big way. And because we're used to like protesting and looking behind us going, where's everybody else? And now,
right.
You know, right. So that. It's awesome that the Twin Cities has really picked it up.
I agree. And in this presentation to these state commissioners yesterday, there was this whole body, the Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness. And one of the really effective things that the MICH, it's called Minnesota Interagency Council on Homelessness, and they employ lived experience consultants, people who have experienced homelessness or are experiencing it, to consult on the work. And I will tell you, their voices really impact what's going on.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome to the second hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. We begin this hour with Robert Pilot in Native Roots Radio. Robert is joined by Robert Lilligren of NACDI.
After I gave my little presentation to the commissioners, then they asked if any of the consultants wanted to add anything, and just about every one of them did. Several of them are Native or Indigenous people, and they said, They said the exact same thing you just did, just how impressive and empowering it was to see so many non-Native allies, white allies, stepping up and stepping out with the community. And that was different. It felt like we were one community for a bit there. And it's actually, I think that is still, it still feels that way.
Yeah, Wendy's in New York, and she's going to go into the city for their rallies. And now I wish I was in both places, because that sounds really exciting too.
It does. And I really think that the No Kings rally here is going to kind of lift up the whole country. I mean, it's going to be big all over, but. Yeah, and then I saw that Benny Dion was on, and folks who aren't here don't know, he and his wife Rachel Dion Thunder are founders of the Indigenous Protector Movement. It's kind of AIM 2.0, 21st century, and they work very closely with American Indian Movement here. But it's a culture, Native ways-based, sobriety-based, physical, spiritual health initiative, and some of their programs are the Many Shield Society, which is a men's society, women's warrior society. They were at the hub of organizing the resistance here to the ICE surge, and they appeared with the governor yesterday, our Governor Walz, right? Was it yesterday or day before?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday, and our governor... Tim Walz is founding a body to kind of document what happened here, the federal occupation. And so, yeah, it's great to see Dan, Vinny, and Rachel there, right in the thick of it.
Yeah, you know, there was an organization, too, that gave the Twin Cities an award. I can't think of it. It was last week. Do you remember who that was that... the Peace Prize, the John F. Kennedy Peace Prize.
Kennedy Peace Prize, right. Yep. So, yeah.
I hope people like Benny and Rachel are invited to Washington because of their work, you know, and more. I don't know who they're going to invite to pick up that award, but it'll be interesting to see.
Sure. So it's the Profile and Courage Award is what it's called.
Thanks. Yeah.
So, and it's given to the people of Minneapolis, right, for what we did. And it is a big deal. And yeah, I don't know what the logistics are and things. I think it's, so in 2026, it'll be given to Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Paul, and then also the people of many of the Twin Cities, for our defense of immigrant communities. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And that's the establishment, right? Recognizing what we did here. And then when you have the Trump administration and his supporters trying to paint us as a bunch of wacky radicals or whatever, being in community with each other and with this political violence here. And, you know, we became a horrific school shooting community. And there's a lot of ways we could respond as neighbors, and that fact that we're responding with care for each other, as you pointed out, how allies stepped in, white allies especially. I was just talking to one of my board members today. We had lunch. A brilliant community development mind, Mike Tamale is his name. He's the founder of the Neighborhood Development Center, talking about what this experience has been here and how kind of influential we can be. So it's kind of our time, and how, you know, I've had the opportunity to meet with organizational leadership from urban Indian country across the nation, and with Congress people. They're all asking, how did you do this? You know, they want to be really practical, logistical, because they all fully expect this to happen in their communities.
Yeah, you know, and the amazing thing, too, that they try to mess with Minnesotans during below zero weather, and they didn't realize that that's kind of our jam at times. Not mine, right. Because I'm old, but in the day it was.
Well, you remember Standing Rock? You could only go up on the hill. And it was called Facebook Mountain. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Well, the one place you could get service. Yep.
And the reason why is because they were blocking the service out of Standing Rock. I mean, they were literally, it came out after Standing Rock that they had these machines and they were doing that. And to me, that's the beginning of all this culverted stuff that's happening and with the technology and everything.
It was the beginning of that. And it was, for me, the beginning of how we go to our past to go forward, right? The seven council fires, the Chickasaw-Sequoian, that were moving the Standing Rock forward. That was a council that hadn't been convened for 150 years.
Right.
Since the Battle of Greasy Grass, which they prevailed. And so, you know, Custer's Last Stand, as some people would know it. But so that was kind of a starting point for me as well. And, you know, we learned early here in the ice surge that this is a tracking device, right? Your smartphone. And so they're tracking you. And if they identified you in a cluster of other people they were monitoring, that they could apprehend you. And that's happened. Now that's coming out in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Some of the people who were arrested were just in the area with their phones.
Yep. Wow. So, Robert, thanks again for being on. Always great chatting with you and catching up.
Always a pleasure. Miigwech, gigawabamin.
I'll see you on the protest line or the celebration line.
Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday.
I'll text you and tell you where I am. If I got a good seat, I'll get you up there. Ho-wa. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Mark sits down and talks to Representative Francesca Hong.
What is up, everybody? Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I am your host, Mark Becker. Sorry about last week, guys. We had a guest and they canceled like last minute, literally last minute. So we had a good rerun. But you know what? No rerun this week. Let me tell you. And we've got a star-studded show. Not me, but we've got Rep. Francesca. Oh, first place, Francesca Hong. Whoa, holy cow. Three polls in a row. What up? How
it's
you been?
Nice to have a three-peat, but no complacency. I'm doing all right. I think spring may be here, and hopefully I didn't just jinx it. But yeah, we're holding up.
That sucked. That snowstorm sucked.
It was not awesome.
That was not awesome. But I think the last time that we talked, you were in studio on the show. And I mean, ever since, like I've obviously followed you on all the socials, but like you are everywhere. You were making calls from a bathroom. I saw that. You're at a restaurant calling people that left their phone number.
Hustling. We have to out-hustle the field. I need to meet as many people as possible and get that FaceTime, have, you know, a real conversation with the real person, and that helps me be relatable.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, you're relatable as it is, but like how is that going for you? Like, I mean, obviously the polls are showing that your message is connecting with folks.
It is, and so is our grassroots powered campaign. I mean, none of this happens without the thousands of volunteers who have signed up to be on Team Hong. And so when you have a campaign that works as hard as ours, and you've got all these amazing ambassadors talking about our campaign, it's been really, really amazing. And I think my favorite parts are when I meet parents whose kids have sent them to our events to meet me and either haven't heard of me or are kind of skeptical or just don't like want to be involved in politics at all. And they get excited that their kid is. And in Wausau, I remember a young person, he's 15, brought his mom to this really great cafe we were at, Kin and Kind, and they yeah, she was just, I think she was excited that her kid was excited. And I was just stoked to get to meet her.
That's cool. Yeah. And like, it's neat to see your message, you know, really connecting with people. And that's got to feel good to kind of see the validation in the polls and all of that. I don't think I asked you when you were here last, but what was the moment when you knew you had to do this?
I think a pivotal moment was when I had the conversation with my son. George is 9 years old, and I had been thinking about it. I'd been making the calls to folks that I trust on whether or not this was the moment where a candidate like me needed to run, not just that I wanted to run. And when George gave me the green light, because he was like, well, does this mean we might get, you know, free lunches at our schools? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I think there are a lot of people in Wisconsin who want that too.
Yeah.
So that and when my family agreed was all systems go after that.
You're like, all right, baby, let's freaking do this. What do you think, what is driving the support that you're seeing right now?
I think it's that I love alliteration. It's chaos, crisis, and change. A lot of times when folks are in, you know, this almost grieving time of uncertainty, we kind of knee jerk is that I'm sure everyone just like wants to figure out how to get, you know, stable. But right now, especially, people want change and they're fed up. And there is this unifying, like we're uniting against a common villain. Right. Mm. And that's authoritarianism. It's also the billionaires and everything that comes with authoritarianism, taking away people's freedoms and their ability to just live the life that they want. And so when there's bipartisan opposition, there's actually a demand for change. So I think meeting that demand, talking about permanent affordability, that we need a systems overhaul. Folks are like, yeah, I think I could be down with that. This, I was saying there's like little revolutions happening everywhere. And I think it's going to lead to the big one. And, you know, plug the rational revolution. I think that's what folks want too.
Thanks. Well, you know, and like I do, I think that, you know, this is a time where big things can happen. You look at the state Senate district that Mar-a-Lago is in, and the woman who won the state Senate district wanted a message of affordability, health care. I mean, it was like, and you know, fair taxes and all, like there's a lot. There's a huge wave that's coming, I believe.
Trump has a Democratic senator.
It's so funny. Oh my God, that's amazing. He's like, well, it's not because of me. Now, we're talking about State Rep. Francesca Hong, who's running for governor. Sometimes leading early in the polls makes you a bigger target. Does that change strategy? Does that change the approach?
It doesn't change the way that we're campaigning. It does, however, require us to have some responses ready for the attacks. But we have run a positive, you know, almost joyful, exciting campaign that, you know, people see our vision and they see themselves in it. And I think that's what's most important, is that folks have to feel like they're a part of your vision and your plan. And then they're down to learn more.
Yeah. What do you, like, when you're talking to voters all over, what are the things that they're saying?
Yes, costs are rising. Healthcare is inaccessible. Folks are having to make choices around, do I pay my utility bill this month or do I pay my phone bill? Why is my water bill doubled? Healthcare, public schools, and the big hot topic right now are AI data centers. And I think there's like issues that have so much bipartisan opposition and then folk, and then issues like healthcare, like grocery costs, that folks are just feeling like they're trapped.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're talking about education too, because I think there's 72 referendums right now, just this year, about public school funding. And I know where we are, it seems like the districts have to go to referendum almost every other year.
Yeah.
Because their budgets are getting siphoned off by these voucher schools.
Yeah.
What can be done about that? Like, how does that change?
Well, first we have to remember that, you know, property taxes are going up. Schools are having to go to referenda because the Republicans in the legislature have abdicated their duty to fund our public schools. Yes. It is in the Constitution. It's why the state legislature is being sued right now. And there's a lawsuit against the legislature because we have not upheld our constitutional responsibility to fund public schools. And I think that we have to look first at reimbursing special education and then have a plan for sunsetting vouchers. We cannot afford to fund two different school systems.
No, that's ridiculous.
And public dollars belong in public schools. You know, there's little history. The voucher program was actually born in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And it was born because we have underserved our Black and Brown students, our lower income students. And it was meant to be an avenue for, you know, families and to have an alternative, right? Another option. But you ask Howard Fuller himself, like, this is not what he wanted, was a privatization of our public school systems. And it is what is being pushed from the regime, in addition to what the Republicans have pushed for years. Public education is one of our last remaining democratic institutions. So you undermine public schools, you're undermining democracy. And so changing the school funding formula and sunsetting vouchers has to be a long-term plan. But in the immediate, we have to look at reimbursing special education and making sure that schools have two-thirds funding from the state. And that will give, like, what's so needed as well is to make sure that schools have, like, they can forecast their budgets, right? Like, that they're, mm-hmm. that they know that there's, there's stable funding coming through and that can actually write their budgets because they know that there's predictable funding. So it's paramount that we change the school funding formula and sunset these voucher programs because it's mostly a scam.
It is. And it's so sad. And it's frustrating here in Northeast Wisconsin. Like, we have schools that are going to referendum. Green Bay schools are having to make some really difficult decisions, you know, between funding the arts or not giving teachers raises and all of that. And meanwhile, we have a school that, like, looks like freaking Hogwarts, you know, it's like a castle. And, you know, and like, it's not okay.
It's not fair.
No.
And it's, when I look at I think it's over $7 billion that have gone to this program, and it's costing us millions of dollars a year. And when folks see how much of their tax dollars are going to fund vouchers, when the students who are receiving these are already in private schools, it's not like they're moving from public schools to private schools.
No, right.
And that, when folks hear that, they're shocked. When they see it on their property tax bills, they see it and they're pissed, and they have a right to be pissed.
Yeah. And I got a shout out to the Green Bay School District and the folks in Green Bay that put that line on property tax bills to show how much is actually being taken off. Because, you know, when all these voucher that program was put in, I think, you know, it was polished. You know, this is a great thing, school choice. And now here we are 15 years later, we're like, boy, that was stupid.
Well, and these schools are choosing their students.
Yeah. Right?
They can discriminate. Yeah. They can write in fine print, okay, we can't tell you can't come because you're queer or you're Black, right. But once you're in, we can kick you out.
Right.
And
well, you just don't align with our values.
No.
You know? Yeah.
It's about fairness. Honestly, at this point, it's about corruption too. And it is hurting our kids.
Yeah. There's so much that I think that is a massive, massive topic that affects almost all communities in the state of Wisconsin. So we're sitting here with Rep. Francesca Hong. She's running for governor. First place, Francesca, I should say. And we have so much more to talk about. We're going to talk about electability and how do we get the message out to moderates. And we're going to do some quick hits and talk about Francesca changing a tire at a dirt track coming up here in May. So stick around on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Playing the hits here on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. I'm just kidding. I would love to be a DJ, you know? Yeah.
You do have a little bit of that voice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think that'd be so much fun, you know, but then I would say something political or stupid and I would lose my job. But, you know, hey, it's okay. So you guys got a dream, right?
I mean, does Russian Revolution even exist anymore? Are you all actually going to get fined if you're on the radio and you swear?
I don't probably know. I mean, well, it depends. Producer Dominic's like, yep, absolutely we will. Yes. It depends if Brendan Carr is listening or not, I guess. We got Rational Revolution. We're talking about State Rep. Francesca Hong, who's running for governor. She's in first place in like three polls in a row. So this is a big moment for your campaign and a big moment for Wisconsin because they're so politics is changing. I think, you know, the winds of change are blowing, really. I believe that very much. And I think, you know, it's interesting how to get your message in front of people. And when I was back in my Republican days, I always say I was a terrible Republican, but I don't think
that mean you're a Democrat?
I don't know, man.
What does that mean?
I was someone who I believed in marriage equality and I believed in women's rights. Mm-hmm. And I was very loud about those opinions in packed rooms that really didn't want to talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I always approached it like, you know, there is a conservative argument for marriage equality, right? You know, it's the Republicans that don't want the big bad government telling them what to do. What is more personal than the government saying you cannot marry the person that you love, right? So
well,
there's conservative
Republicans are all about government telling you what to do.
Well, right. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yes. Tariff me, daddy. But so like, yeah,
not funny because what it's doing to our small businesses
so bad.
And specifically
so bad.
Our farmers, it is devastating and frankly disgusting what the regime is doing.
Between tariffs and that we had a guy on who you should talk to too, because there was a gentleman who, he's a farm consultant and it's like, I think one out of every eight dairy cows in the country is under his care. He's up in Okano. He's brilliant. He is freaking brilliant. He was on the show. He's a good friend of mine. And he was saying about how.
Can I meet him?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll connect you guys. Absolutely. His name is Dan. He's awesome. And he's so smart. But he was talking about how ice was decimating farms and like not screw fertilizer, but like they have to have someone to pick, you know, to work the fields and to feed the cows and to do. And he told a story about just a small dairy farm in Wisconsin. It was a father and a daughter and they had like 10 employees and one day they were gone. And so, you know, he was like, I don't know. I can't do all of this work. I don't know what to do, you know? And so, yeah, it's crazy. But so you're talking about expanding your message and all of that. How do you get your message? I mean, you know, Tom Tiffany's going, oh, Dane County Democrats, some BS like that. How do you fight that?
Pedophile protector.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, there's that. But how do you?
Me being a liberal from Dane County is really the big issue here.
Right. There's that.
I think for us, it's three-pronged. It's having amazing volunteers who are ambassadors for the campaign, reaching people that I may never be able to reach, whether it's convincing a more conservative or someone who is just very skeptical about politics or Democrats. When you have someone who's close to you talking about it, it doesn't always work. I know families who have been torn apart by MAGA, but I think especially the multi-generational aspect, when you've got a young person and there's just so much people judge that young folks are not paying attention or they don't care. They care so much because we are deciding their future for them when they should be a part of the conversation and looked at as partners. And we really, really appreciate all the young folks who are working with us, and we're learning from them. And they, like I said, they're sending their parents to our events. So having those ambassadors is key. And then the other piece is meeting people where they are includes on the internet. And we invested very early in our digital program so that folks could know who I was and how to reach me and how I was accessible. My Instagram DMs are still open. That's the only one I can still control. that's key. And we knew that, I had low name recognition. And in order to get some of that name ID up, we had to reach folks through social media. And, the other piece is I have to be everywhere. I have to meet people and have one-on-one conversations. The town halls are more important to me than going into a space, giving them a 10-minute stump and walking out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying candidates do that, but I do know that, people want to maximize their time and get in front of a lot of folks, but for me, spending more time in front of a small group, answering questions for an hour, much to the dismay sometimes of the campaign, because who knows what I'm going to say, but that gives me more time to show folks that I'm just an average person trying to make things a whole lot better for working class people, because I am one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is quite a moment to do a lot of things. I want to talk about this on the other side of the break. This could be a seismic moment for all of Wisconsin to do some big things. This could be the year that the assembly flips and the state senate flips. And my God, if we got the governorship, and this could be a big deal. As Joe Biden once said, it's a BFD. So if I say that on the air, I will get fined, but I'm not going to. Dominic, I'm not going to. We're going to talk about this on the other end of the break here on The Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker, you got Francesca Hong, and we will be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.